welcome to Christ Coliseum Church with Pastor Joseph Sailors. Today, Pastor Joseph's going to be in the book of John, chapter 2, starting in verse 13, and we're going to be looking at the Passover. Open your Bibles, if you will, and join us now. Now the Passover is at hand, and Jesus is making his way to Jerusalem. He's going to show us what it really means to serve God and how serious God is. Jesus rebukes the money changers in the temple and then tells them he is God. He's going to explain how he's going to die for our sins later on. Jesus is going to show us how to be born again. He's lining up our salvation for his glory. As we continue to grow in Christ, we can clearly see how Christ is the Messiah. So let's begin this journey together. Now here's pastor and Bible teacher, Joseph Sailors.
Welcome back to Christ Coliseum Church. Father, we thank you, Lord. We ask that you bless this time. We ask you bless this day, Lord. We pray that you speak to us through your word, Father. And Lord, we pray that you come, Holy Spirit, and just fill this place, Father, with your love and your mercy, Lord. Father, speak to our hearts, Lord, and Father, stir up our hearts to receive your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, God bless you guys, and welcome back to Christ Coliseum Church. So the wedding was pretty cool, man. Last week, we talked about the wedding, how Jesus came to this wedding. He was invited to with his disciples. He went there, and he stood before his disciples, he stood before the wedding in Cana in Galilee, and his mother was there, and people were tripping out on this because Jesus changed the water into wine. But church, today I want to talk about the Holy Spirit and how big the Holy Spirit wants to work and what its importance is in our lives when we receive the Holy Spirit. And so Christ came to change the water to wine, but he wants to do more in our lives, church. He wants to show us that it's more than changing water into wine. And it's more than just meditating on his word. It's receiving him into our lives and putting on Christ. It's the Spirit, the Holy Spirit that Christ has to offer us. And so we talked about how Jesus set the 6 water pots of stone according to the manner of the purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. And Jesus said to them, fill the water pots with water, and they filled them up to the brim. And we talked how Jesus Christ can fill us to the brim in our own lives, even when we're blowing chunks, when we're sinning. And sometimes as believers, we get onto ourselves and we bang ourselves up on condemnation. And Jesus says, therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. So it's important that we don't condemn ourselves, but we put on Christ and we receive Christ in love. And we live the way Christ wanted us to live. Well, Jesus did that, church. He came, he filled up that water pot. He filled it to the brim, and he's reaching his hand out saying, I want to fill your life with my love and my mercy. I want to show you how important it is to not only believe in me, but to receive me. The miracle was done at the wedding, but people forget that you are the miracle. When you receive Jesus, you become a miracle. God made us for a reason, so he can use us, so he can love us, so he can be our Father. But we need to reach out our hand and say, yes, I want that. I want that. I want to be filled and be purified. And how do we do that? We left off at verse 10 in John chapter 2nd John. First, actually, it's John chapter 2, verse 11. But we go to verse 10 and says, and it said to him, every man at the beginning sets out the good wine. And when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior, you have kept the good wine until now. So we started on verse 11. Jesus just got done setting up leaving the feast, the wedding. And we move on to verse 11 where it says, the beginning of the signs, listen, this beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee. This was the beginning. And church, Jesus wants to do a work in you. And this is the beginning of your life. Listen. Listen. God wants to put a work in your life. We can't work our way, church, to heaven, but we can let him put a work in our lives. But verse 11 goes on to say, this beginning of signs Jesus did, listen, in Cana of Galilee, and he manifested his glory and his disciples believed in him. So the disciples knew that it was about his glory and only his glory. And when we understand that it's about his glory, things start to change. Church, listen, verse 12 says, after this, he went down to Capernaum, he, his mother, his brothers, and disciples, and they did not stay there many days. Listen, I want you to read this, Romans. I want you to go turn to Romans with me. And I want to talk about Romans chapter 8, but I want to go to verse chapter 1. There is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Listen. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. Now remember that verse, church. We're going to go back to that later, but listen. After this, verse 12, he went down to Capernaum, he, his mother, his brothers, and his disciples, and they did not stay there many days. Verse 13 says, now the Passover of the Jews was at hand. But today I wanted to get into the Holy Spirit. Church, this is the most important part about life. Listen, Jesus cleansed the temple, but he wants to cleanse our hearts. Everybody talks about how it's important about, oh, the touchy-feely this or that and this. Jesus never came in to be touchy-feely message, man. He came in to address the issue, the problem. The problem was sin. How do we get to the bottom of what Christ wants us to do? It's called sin. We are sinners. And we need a Savior. Without Christ, we're nothing. Amen? Amen. So we're moving on to where Jesus Christ is coming to the Passover, the Pesach in Hebrew. And he's getting to the Passover. And verse 13 says, now the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now he was down in Galilee, and now he's going up. He's walking up. When I lived in Israel, it was very hard on my feet. I had these sandals. They were always, they're good sandals, but I don't recommend wearing sandals in Israel. I mean, they hurt your feet. I mean, the dust kicks up, rocks go under there. And if you're going to buy sandals, I guarantee buy the ones that say Royal on the back of them. they're made with tires, man. They have real tires in the back. And it's like you're putting on a tire. It's funny. But Jesus is walking down, and now he's going up, and he's going up to Jerusalem, and he's, check it out. In verse 14, and he found in the temple those who sold oxen and sheep and doves. Man, they were doing business. They were working the church, man. They were doing what the law of Moses at the time required. See, what happened was that at the time of the law of Moses, he required that any animals offered in a sacrifice be unblemished, right? That was the Jewish halacha law, and that every Jewish male over 19 years old, they pay a temple tax. It's in Leviticus 13 and Deuteronomy 17. But as a result of the tax, the collectors and the inspectors, listen, they had sacrificial animals. They were present at the temple. However, these officials would not accept secular coins because they had the image of the Roman emperor on them. Okay? And these were the pagan worshipers. If they had Rome there, Rome took over. You're thinking, what's this have to do with the money changers? It's important because Rome was occupying and they were worshiping. The Roman emperor, basically, they were pretty much pagans, according to Jewish customs.
They were worshiping God in a pagan way. So to put these coins on the temple treasury was thought to be an offense to the Jewish custom. Now listen. So basically, these coins, and they date very far back, but they were used, these coins, so in order to accommodate the visitors in need of animals and the right kinds of coins, the animal merchants and money changers set up shop in the outer court of the temple. These inspectors and collectors and exchangers, however, charged high prices. So they were taxing people, and they were making money on the fact that God's house was a house of worship, and they were using this place as a place to manipulate people to make money. Church, we see that today in many churches. We see it on TV stations. It's called the peace, prosperity message. Money message. Sowing into the seed. Preying on people's emotions. Oh, I see Jimmy out there. He's in a wheelchair. Of course Jimmy's out there in a wheelchair, dummy. He's crippled. He was in an accident. And oh, he'll work. He'll, if he just puts money in this fund of this church, God will multiply your feet and you will walk again. And that's pathetic. Church, listen. Listen. Read the book of Revelations. Talks about these churches. There's the lukewarm church. There's the corrupt church. You know, and then there's many different types of churches, Revelations. But Jesus was making a whip. He seen it coming. I bet he was thinking as he was going up, man. I really think he was thinking that. I'm going to deal with these guys. I think he had the whip already ready, man. He's like, you're going to make my father's a place of business? I'm going to straighten you out. Church, listen. It's sad. I was in Texas 2 weeks ago, and I got lost downtown, man, and I was lost, and there was this big old rivalry things of people. There was cars everywhere, and I was like, I'm lost, man. What's going on here? And there was this guy, he said, oh, yeah, man. Oh, I seen Christians there. I could tell there were signs that said Jesus loves you and yada, yada, this and that. And I'm sitting there, and wow, it was a peace, prosperity message speaker, man. I'm like, wonderful, man. I better get my car out of this place. I don't want to be seen on TV. Man. And this light, I said, I'm lost. You know where this street is? And the guy goes, oh, you're not lost. Jesus has found you. Come in here and listen to this guy. He's going to give a message on peace, prosperity, and sowing in the seed message. And I said, I'm out of here, man. I got out of there fast, church. Jesus is there with a whip. Listen, he's made a whoop. He's going to whoop him. Is that even a word? Whoop? Or whip? He's going to whip him. Listen. I'm not laughing at the church. I'm laughing at the fact that we don't play with God in the church. It's important. So he's there, man. In verse 13, listen, it says, now the Passover, the Pesach in Hebrew, the Jews was at hand. So, and he went up to Jerusalem, and he found in the temple those who sold oxen and sheep and doves, man, and money changer doing business. When he had made a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changer's money and overturned the tables. He said, I don't want my house to be business, man. People said, oh yeah, Jesus was a sinner. Look, he sinned. He was anger. Anger is sin. No, he was perfect. That was his righteousness. God's holy righteous. That performed the whip. And we as believers need to be whipped by God when we're out of line. Listen, church. God chastens the ones he loves. Be careful. Remember the book of Acts.
Ananias and Sapphira, man, they weren't doing too well, man, when they held back God's money. Listen. Verse 15 says, when he had made a whip of cords and drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers' money and overturned the tables, he said to those who sold dove, take these things away. Do not make my father's house a house of merchandise. And my father's house was a distinct claim to the Messiahship at the wedding in Cana. Jesus demonstrated his deity and power. Here he's showing his authority. Listen, his authority. Remember Psalm 69:9. See, the disciples understood that Jesus was claiming to be the Messiah. And Jesus is clearly demonstrating his authority over the body, the church. He's saying, don't mess with my house. And God says, I will judge those who make my house a house of money. And he does. I've seen it. Look on the TV. Just the other day, man, I was on the news looking, man. I couldn't believe what I seen. I was like, guess who it was? Oh, you're gossiping. No, I'm being a factual talker. Joel Osteen. I'm going to quit. I'm going to retire. My wife and I are going to do skincare now. Wow, retire. Whew. Man, Jesus doesn't call pastors in the ministry to get rich. He calls them to be obedient. He calls them to listen to the Holy Spirit, obey the Holy Spirit, walk in the Holy Spirit, love others, serve others. But Jesus was showing his power and his deity that no man can overtake Christ. But Christ wants to love us. Church, you know he's in love with you. Do not make my father's house a house of merchandise. Then his disciples remember that it was written, zeal for your house has eaten me up. So the Jews answered, listen. Well, they didn't say, listen, that's what I say. So the Jews answered and said to him, what sign do you show to us since you do these things, man? Jesus answered, listen. Well, I said that, listen. He said to them, destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up. You know, I'm excited. That's why I say, listen, 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 listen. Because it's important. Listen. I'm excited to tell you that the Jews said it had been taken 46 years to build this temple, and will you raise it up in 3 days? Come on, man. I mean, like, you're going to tear this temple down, bro. They thought he was a wacko. Man. Verse 20 says, then the Jews said it has been taken 46 years. 46 years to build this temple. And will you raise it up in 3 days? Verse 21 says, but he was speaking of the temple of his body. Jesus was going to die on the cross for our sins. God, I'm excited. Thank you, Lord. Verse 22 says, therefore, when he had risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he said this to them. Listen, his body. The physical building, listen, was referring to his body, and John emphasizes Jesus was speaking of his death. I will raise it up. See, Jesus didn't say, I will build it again. He was referring to his resurrection. 3 days after his death, the sign Jesus gave the Jews was the sign of his death and resurrection. Look at Matthew chapter 12, verse 39. And a lot of people, we believe this, but have we received it? And that's the difference I want to tell you about today. Listen. But he was speaking of the temple of his body. Therefore, when he had risen from the dead, the disciples remembered that he had said this to them.
And they believed the scriptures and the word which Jesus had said. I don't know about you, but did you see that? Verse 21, but he was speaking of the temple of his body, therefore when he had risen from the dead. He rose from the dead. Bro, have you ever been to a funeral? People are dead. They stink. They're not alive. Jesus, when he died, he rose again from the grave. I don't know what God you serve, but my God is alive. He's alive. And his Holy Spirit is here. He is alive. Church, listen. He loves you. He is in love with you. And his disciples remembered that he said this to them. They remembered. It's all coming back, man. And they believed the scriptures that we have today. Listen, these same scriptures today are available in the same way today in the word which Jesus had said. Listen, man, I used to walk around years ago and not know the Lord. And I would walk and be dead and not know. I would be dead in my sins. I didn't know where I was going. I knew Jesus Christ was real. I knew God was real. But I never, ever, ever realized the power that Jesus Christ had and still has. Church, listen. I want to talk about this. I'm so excited I finally got to this part, man. Because the biggest part of this whole chapter is this verse. Listen, to verse 23. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, during the feast, many believed in his name. And when they saw the signs which he did, but Jesus did not commit himself to them. Because he knew all men and had no need that anyone should testify of a man, for he knew what was in man. We're sinners. Amen. He knew men were liars. Men are liars, church. Man will lead you astray, but Jesus Christ will never leave you nor forsake you because he's in love with you. Jesus Christ cannot lie because the book of Hebrews chapter 6 says it. In verse 13, it says, for when God made a promise to Abraham because he couldn't swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessings I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you. And so listen, so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise, for men indeed swear by greater, and an oath for confirmation is for them in the end of all dispute. Thus God determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. Listen, that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. Church, he cannot lie. God is not a liar. Man is a liar. But Jesus will never leave you nor forsake you. Your real father is a liar, man. Your earthly father. But your heavenly father, Jesus Christ, will not lie to you. And I'm not lying to you. If the truth is the truth. We have 100% God and 100% man, Jesus Christ. He rose from the grave. He's on fire for the love that he has for us. But when do we stop and recognize and give Jesus the glory that he deserves? The word Holy Spirit in Hebrew is called Ruach HaKodesh. This is the Hebrew word. But it doesn't really mean anything unless we do it in Greek, which is pneuma. The breath it means, the spirit or the soul. In Hebrew it means nefesh benefesh. But the Greek word for pneuma, it's like air, motion, breath, wind, breathing it in and out. Genesis, God breathed life into man, the wind. Jesus wants to breathe in the pneuma into our vital organs. It's like a baby. When a baby's born, they come out of the woman and they're purple. But when they take that breath, they're
their body turns pink. And it's like, wow, we're a bunch of babies walking around, man. I'm sorry to say it, until we receive Jesus. When we receive him, we become new. Pneuma. Our blood starts to circulate. Our vital organs start to offer this oxygen, man. It's life. The Holy Spirit begins to work in us. The Trinity is starting to come alive. Genesis 1, chapter 1, 26. God said, and I made man in our image, like us, Elohim. Luke chapter 3, verse 22 says, the Holy Spirit descended on him physically, man. Appearance like a dove. The dove. The Holy Spirit, church, affirms in believers' lives. It affirms, but it confirms that we know Jesus Christ is God. And when we operate in the Holy Spirit, we can understand that Jesus Christ is in love with us. Church, Jesus Christ offered himself as a living sacrifice. Verse 23 talked about how he went. Verse 23, now when he was in Jerusalem in the Passover during his feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself to them because he knew all men, and he had no need that anyone should testify of a man, for he knew what was in a man. Jesus said, I want to change that man. I want to make that man new. But what do we got to do, church? We must receive him first. We must receive Jesus. We must receive and believe. Even Satan believed that Jesus was God. Remember that? But believing is one thing. Receiving is another, church. And I want to give you that opportunity today. Please don't pass it up. It's the truth. The Holy Spirit wants to affirm and confirm in your life. Jesus said, listen, ask the Father to give another counselor to be with you forever. John 14. Christ wants to know you, church. He wants to show you a better way, but we got to say, Jesus, yes, I want to receive you into my life. What's that mean? It means we need to stop. Anyone can believe that Jesus Christ is God. But receiving him in our heart is another. Jesus said in John chapter 3, verse 5, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom. He cannot. The kingdom of God. He said, that is which is born of the flesh is the flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is the Spirit. Don't laugh that I say to you, you must be born again. Jesus says, receive me. How do I do that? It's by understanding that you can't save yourself. You're a sinner. And that God is in love with you. And that no matter what you do, Christ is in love with you. And that you're a blow it. And that we can't make it on our own. But if we receive him and ask him into our heart and say this prayer, outwardly Jesus will come into us and he'll change us. Listen, let's pray. Father God, we come before you. Lord, we thank you. We know, Lord, that altar calls are nice. Lord, but we know that you said that if you just, we believe in you and we receive you, that we will be born again. So today, we want to give our lives to you, Father. I've given mine years ago, Lord, and I know believers out there, Father, want to give their lives, recommit their lives to you, and non-believers want that are listening to this message today. I pray that they say yes to you, Lord. And so, Father, we just pray now to you, Jesus. We say, Lord, we just, if anyone is out there, Father, today, I pray that they just hear these words and repeat after me. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I'm a sinner. I cannot save myself. I know that you are God. I know that you died for me on the cross and that you're coming back for me, Father. Lord, I pray that you save me. I change my ways. Lord, forgive me of my sins. I'm a sinner. Father, wash me. Make me new. Come into my life. Be my God, Jesus. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. I receive you today as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And God bless you guys. And next week, listen, next week we're going to be on chapter 3. And I just want to say, man, if you receive Jesus Christ in your heart today, welcome to the family.
As a new believer or a more mature believer, we can find comfort in the Holy Spirit. People change, but God's Word never changes and always remains the same. Today, tomorrow, and forever. We can rest in this blessed hope that Christ did come and will come again for His church. We are the church. We are the people God set as an example until He comes back. We need to serve others, and we need to serve Christ. Thank you for listening to Christ Coliseum Church, and please tune in again next week. God.